Psalm 87, and we'll just read all seven verses again, but our primary emphasis will be on verse 4 and verse 5. The psalmist writes, Yahweh's foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. But of Zion, it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her. And the Most High Himself will establish her. The Lord will count when He registers the people. This one was born there. Then those who sing as well as those who play the flute shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. So when we look at this psalm, we are looking at the city of God, right? But we're not looking at the city of God as in the earthly city of God, whose name is what? Jerusalem. We're talking about the heavenly city of God, that heavenly Jerusalem that Paul even speaks of in the book of Galatians when he states that the heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all. And of course, eventually, if the Lord be pleased, we'll get there in our Galatians study. But we know here from verse 3 that the psalmist is speaking of a city of God that is imperishable. This is one who the Lord laid the foundation in the holy mountains. This is the one whom the Lord loves, the gates of Zion, more than any other of the dwelling places of Jacob on the face of this earth. And glorious things are spoken of you concerning this city of God. And we ended last Wednesday by saying, well, what are those glorious things? Well, the way I have the psalm divided, verses 4 and 5 talks about glorious things concerning His people. And then in verse 6, there's glorious things concerning their citizenry. And then in verse 7, there are glorious things that are joyful. And so you have these things that God Himself is speaking. Here He speaks in verse 4, I shall mention. What is He going to say? This one was what? This one was born there. In verse 5, the Lord Himself is going to establish her. What does He say? Well, this one and that one were born in her. And then again, you got in verse 6, when He registers the people, here's the glorious things concerning this city that are spoken. This one was born there. And then in verse 7, you have another one, right? What's being spoken about this city? All my springs are in you. Everybody see that? So they're the thing. They're not the only things, but they are the things here in this psalm. So what we can say at this point is, these things of glory, the glorious things, are meant to bring us joy. They're meant to bring us joy. Because in verse 7 it says, all my springs of joy are where? Are in you, are in the city of God. So here we have these glorious truths that are designed to bring joy to the people of God. Because we know from the book of Revelation that the heavenly Jerusalem is still future, right? It exists. It's real. There's people there. The spirits of just men made perfect, they're there. Christ is there, okay? So we know the city is there, but one day that city is going to be on earth, on that new heavens and new earth, And the Bible says that God is going to declare this amazing truth. God dwells with men. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but also God the Father will dwell with men. Amazing. That is condescension, is it not? For the Creator of the heaven and earth to condescend and delight in abiding with human people. It's an amazing thing. Well, I want to look at verses 4 and 5. And I have three glorious things that I want to make note of in these verses. The first glorious joy is in verse 4. And it is this joy, I'll declare it to you, and then we'll look at it. That in this city, Gentiles are included. Now, we as Gentiles, we'll just sit back and we'll say, well, of course, well, that's nice. But imagine yourself here as a Jew. This is some 3,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago. Here this psalm is being written. And Gentiles were not included, right? God himself dwelt in that city, that temple, with Jewish people, that Jewish nation. He gave them the law, right? And here, the psalmist is saying, now look, now think about this joy. There's going to be Gentile people included among the people of God. Hallelujah for that. We as Gentile people surely can say, all my springs of joy are in you. This is our joy that we are included. Now here's the amazing thing. You got these people here. You've got Rahab. Now, Rahab was a term that was used symbolically for the nation of Egypt. I'll give you a couple of passages. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 7 speaks of this. And Isaiah 51 and verse 9 speaks of this. And what's fascinating about the Isaiah passage is that God uses that name and then he says, I name you that name because you are useless. So he calls the people of Egypt useless. The term can also mean empty. It can also refer to as no help at all. Now think about this. Here's a people that are known by being useless to God. And they're going to be there in that city. And folks, I won't take time to turn to it just like we didn't take time to turn to the Isaiah passages. But you'll probably recall that in the Psalms that are quoted in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says concerning all mankind, you are altogether to me useless. Useless. That's who we were. But in this city, there's going to be useless people, and of course we understand that are going to be useful, right? And so you have Rahab there. You have Babylon there. And of course, you know Babylon came and boy, the destruction that they did on the city of Jerusalem and the city surrounding that city. You read the book of Lamentations and Jeremiah, who's in that city, talks about children being out in the streets, no food, no water, that the sun was coming down. They actually turned black from lack of nourishment. This was a severity. Would you not agree? The Babylonians exerted severity among that earthly Jerusalem. But there's going to be them here in that city. Now, how would you respond if you were a Jew and you heard that? You might respond like Jonah did. When God tells Jonah to go to that city and cry against it, he says, I'm not going because I know that you're a merciful God, and if I go, you'll show mercy to them. And God is showing mercy to these people, isn't he? Or Philistia, or Tyre. It says Ethiopia here in our translation. Literally, it's the word Cush, C-U-S-H. These were all historic enemies of this earthly nation of Israel. And note what it says here in verse 4, that these enemies are going to know me. Everybody see that? They're going to know God. And of course, in that day, they did not know anything about God. They didn't want to know God at all in any shape, fashion, or form. But the psalmist prophesies, here in this heavenly Jerusalem, there's going to be people in there that historically were Israel's enemies, and yet they know Yahweh. They know the God of Israel. This is amazing. And folks, you just really going to have to meditate on that and put yourself back in that nation back here. And to understand that this is just like what our Lord said. Listen to what our Lord said. You are to love your enemies. Do you know how that landed upon a Jewish ear with Romans walking around? You are to love your enemies. Does God love his enemies? Some of them are going to be in this heavenly Jerusalem, like you and me, who are enemies against God. Folks, I tried to think of some modern day things to kind of bring this to our mind. Imagine Israel and Nazis living together. Right? Nazi Germany was an enemy to the Jew, were they not? They did all kinds of evil to that people and to Christians too. So what he's saying here is that there is a heavenly city, and in this heavenly city there is unity and joy and peace. And Israel, those of you that are there in that city, and there may be Nazis, former Nazis there, and you're not going to be like this against one another anymore. Or folks, it would be like Russia and Ukraine in the same room. A Russia that has devastated that nation, killed people. I've read about some of their executions of testimonies. So there was one in the newspaper last week. They actually shot three brothers. And when they got to the third brother, they did shoot him and he fell over, but the bullet missed his brain and actually went out his right cheek. And he fell into the grave on top of his other brothers. And the Russians came and took dirt and shovels and started putting it on top of them to try to cover it over. And he ended up escaping. And talks about his escape. That's how we know about that. All right? You take those two people, put them in the same room, what kind of attitude do you think they're going to have? In this city, they would dwell together in harmony. Why? Because, verse 4, they were born in that city. Not born in the city of Ukraine or Russia or Nazi Germany or even Israel. They were born in what city? They were born in that heavenly Jerusalem. And folks, that's what it's going to take for men and women, different nationalities, different ethnicities, different families on this earth to come together. It's going to take a rebirth. And God is able to do that. Now, we're filling in a lot from the New Testament into this, but all of that is implied when it says you were born there, right? You mean my enemies are born in this heavenly city? Yes. You mean I am born in that? Yes. And folks, is that not a glorious thing? You just think about that. It will bring a smile to your heart because you're part of those who have persecuted historically the people of God. And now we are part of the people of God. Why? We were born there. Second glorious joy is the truth that not only will Gentiles be there, but even some of the Jews are included among the people of God. Look at verse 5. But of Zion, who are we talking about? We're talking about Israel, right? But of Zion, it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High Himself will establish her. So here, building on top of this, this is a heavenly city, a heavenly Jerusalem. Foundations are set by Yahweh. He loves the gates of that. He loves it more than any other dwelling place that any of the sons of Israel ever stopped and made their own dwelling place. And even in this city are Gentiles that were born there, but also Jews are included among the people of God. Now, to a Jew, that would not have been surprising. Even Jews today, even those of really, even those who really don't have the religion of Jews, all believe that when they die, they're going to go to heaven because they're God's children. They're Jews. But folks, this verse says something has to happen to them in order to be in that city. What has to happen to them? Well, it says they have to be born in her. Everybody see that? And folks, here again, it all wraps up into this third glorious joy is that whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, the inhabitants of the city are born here. What does that mean? Well, it means this. Folks, every resident of the heavenly Jerusalem has to have a birth certificate. Yes? And on this birth certificate, it has to indicate that their birth city is this heavenly Jerusalem. That's the only people who will be allowed there. And folks, this is exactly, let's turn to John 3. This is exactly what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Now folks, just from this psalm, and Jesus isn't referring to this psalm in John chapter 3, but just from this psalm, it does give and imply that there has to be a what? There has to be a birth. And if the city is in the heavens, now follow me, that means that you have to be born from above. Yes? Okay, so there you just have that. Now we see that as New Testament believers. But it's even here in the Old Testament. It was true in Old Testament times. Now in John 3, here comes this man named Nicodemus. He's a chief ruler of the Jews. Would this man know the Bible? Would this man be a religious leader? Would this man be someone who other people look up to? All the answer to that is yes. So he comes to Jesus by night in verse 2 and says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Was he right? Yes. He was right. And Jesus hears him say that, and he just goes right to Nicodemus's heart. Verse 3. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, says again in our translation, but that word, that Greek term can be translated just as equally from above. Unless one is born from above, he cannot see the what? The kingdom of God. Now you would expect Nicodemus to say amen. But he didn't say amen. He asked the obvious question, is he thinking heavenly or earthly? Earthly. Verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? I mean, he's opening the possibility of going back into the womb and being born, since Jesus said you had to be born twice and be born from above. Look at what Jesus says, verse 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is what? And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand this? In other words, Jesus is saying, this is fundamental, Nicodemus. Right? This is foundational. And Jesus goes and look at what he says, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you what? See, he's using an earthly analogy. I'm telling you about earthly things to tell you about heavenly things. Jesus has been talking heavenly the whole time. And folks, here's the amazing thing. Did you notice in verse 3 and verse 5, it says, unless you have been born from above, unless you have this birth certificate indicating your birth city is the heavenly Jerusalem, look at verse 5. You cannot enter. Did everybody see that? Mm-hmm. Impossible. The Lord's eyes are on the gates of this city. He loves them. He's not going to let anything in that city that is defiling. Which is exactly what the book of Revelation says, right? Did you notice verse 3? You have to have this birth certificate with this birth city indicated, or you don't even have the ability. You will not even see the kingdom of God. Amazing, isn't it? And folks, it is amazing, and yet it's not amazing. As we go back to Psalm 87, Jesus is not contradicting this psalm. What is so glorious about this city? Gentile people will be there. Those who were once Israel's enemies, and therefore enemies of God, they'll be in that city. Well, folks, if you can't see the city and you can't enter the city, how do you get there? You have to be born there. Everybody see that? Or a glorious truth that even Jews, folks, Jews have to be born again. Sometimes we use the nomenclature that they are the people of God. And I understand that when we say that, we're just talking in general like an earthly type of thing, because the earthly descendants of Abraham were called the people of God, right? But folks, today, if you say that, there's people out there actually believe that Jewish people are all going to be in heaven. Because they're the people of God. They're God's favored people. But folks, the earthly seed of Abraham have to have a birth certificate. Or they won't see it, and they won't enter it. Just like we have to have that. And folks, here's the great thing. Did you notice in verse 5 that it says, the Most High Himself will establish her? Did you see that? Folks, He's already laid the foundation. Does He love its gates? He does. He loves that city. Why? Its builder and maker is God. No sinful hands on that building. None. All right, there's the city. How's He going to establish her? By filling that city up with people. That's how He's going to do it. Do you see that? Rahab, Babylon, are they going to know there? Be there? Are they going to know God? Amen. Jews, are they going to know God? Born again, will they be there? The Lord's going to establish that city. And He's going to establish it with multitudes and multitudes of Gentiles and Jews having been born from above. And folks, if that doesn't give you some measure of gladness, you've either had a super rough day and you just can't get your mind off earthly things. Or maybe there's not the Spirit of God inside of you that gives you that joy, because the Spirit of God is excited about this. The Spirit of God says, glorious things of thee are spoken, O city of God. Amen? This is God Himself through His Spirit delighting there in that city. And folks, I want to encourage you as we close. Years and years ago, decades ago, when President Jimmy Carter was running, the term born again was just run into the ground. It was used in ways that was not biblically defined. People had no idea what it meant. They just thought, you know, it's just some Georgia person down in the Bible Belt, and, you know, they believe in that type of thing. But folks, the silence today about having to be born again is deafening. I could ask you, many of you listen to sermons. When was the last time you heard the phrase? Well, maybe if you're listening to people back in the 60s and 70s and 50s. Today we're all about psychotherapy and making people feel good and helping them have their finances okay and getting them through the week and the newspaper and the headlines and the politics. But the answer is, people still have to be born again. Mm-hmm. And folks, it doesn't solve all our problems in an Ecclesiastes world, but it will give the grace to walk through it. And I want to encourage you to see these passages. Use Psalm 87. Go to your neighbor and say, let me tell you, did you know that there's a heavenly city? They probably haven't heard about it. They don't even know that you're going to witness to them because you're not coming up to them with all the tried and true methods that they're all guarded against. And say, look here, look at Psalm 87. Look at that city. Do you read that? How do you get in that city? Do you see that word? Born there. Do you see that? Born there. Do you see that? They'll say, oh yeah, I see that. What does that mean? Well, you got to be born in this city. And then you say, this is a heavenly city. And they'll be stunned. They'll be stunned. And you'll be able to tell them that Jesus died so that they can be born from above and be there in that city. You could even take them to Revelation 21 and show them a little bit about this city. Would you agree that'd be different? And you might even get a hearing. You must be born again. Let's pray.